For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. My name is Sam. My co-host Muggsy Bogues is with me. Muggsy, how are you?
I'm good. How you doing, Sam?
I'm doing all right. Little ups and downs with our Hornets thus far this season, which is, you know, come to expect it, I guess. You take the good with the bad. All things considered, things could be a lot worse with the Hornets.
Absolutely. You know, normally how we start the show, I'm kind of always got to have my toast with you.
Yeah, I got you this time.
Yeah, how you doing? There we go. Yeah, the Hornets, I tell you, you're right, the ups and downs, and but, you know, it's going to be a long season, and that's what they got to, you know, be aware of, and, you know, got to try to not have as many downs and have more ups as the season progresses.
Yep, and we're going to get into all the ups and downs in a second. But first, as Muggsy and I are recording this, today is the one-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's death. And it wouldn't be right if we didn't talk about Kobe on this podcast. Even though we're here to talk about the Hornets, we will. So if you're here for the Hornets, we'll get to it. But we got to talk about the late, great Kobe Bryant, a guy that Muggsy knew, Muggsy played against. Muggsy, we're 1 year removed away from losing Kobe Bryant. Can you talk to everybody about your interactions with him? What was he like? What was he like to play against?
Well, I mean, as a player, you know, he was definitely, you know, something to be reckoned with. I mean, here it is in 1996 as a player, you know, the Hornets, we drafted him. You know, we drafted Kobe, thought that he was going to want to be part of the Hornets. But at the time, you know, where he saw his career, where he saw he wanted to be, he was more or less in a bigger city. LA was that city. His daddy, you know, Jelly Bean Bryant, played for the Lakers. So that's something that they always dreamt about doing. And he got that opportunity, and look what type of career he had. But he was such a great human being. You know, Kobe, very relentless on the court by all means. You know, he took no prisoners, but just off the court, you know, I didn't know him that well in that regards, where I know a lot of his personal life, but he always been respectful, always been gracious to me every time we come in contact with one another. I remember we bumped into each other in the All-Star game in Toronto, and we just kind of chatting up and how graciously we was able to see one another. And I always want to tell him, you know, why he wanted to come play with me down at the Hornets? We could have had a nice little run there for a second. But, you know, of course, he had bigger things in mind, and, you know, winning four championships. Four titles, you know, on his fingers, you know, that says enough of what type of career he had. But more importantly, he was just a special man off the court, you know, all the generous things he'd done, you know, and you'd be remiss not mentioning his daughter, G. I mean, that was a special person to him, a young lady. She was interested in the game of basketball and, you know, trying to follow her daddy's footsteps, and for them to, you know, be together and at their last final moment. You know, I'm quite sure that, you know, he was being a father, being hungry. And that's what we do, you know, as fathers. So it's a sad day, but it's a celebration day. And I'm always going to celebrate his life and things what he meant, not only to the NBA, but to a guy like myself, because I always admire the way he conducted himself on and off the court. Always been professional. You know, and I always remember in that way.
When did you know he'd be something special? Like, we see a lot of guys come into the league with attention, with a name, but very few can, like, meet those expectations and exceed those expectations. And from your experience, like, when did you notice that or think that, oh, man, this Kobe guy's for real?
Well, he had that label, as you said, coming into it, you know, and he mentored Michael Jordan so much. I mean, he studied him, not only just the way he played, but the way he talked and the way he mimicked himself as, you know, the way we walked and so forth. And but you could just see, you know, a young kid with this type of talent that's coming in and wanting to be the, one of the best players in the league. And you start to see the skill set. Like, whoa, you know, even though he was West Coast, we was East Coast, so you didn't get to see much of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, of course, when every time you get an opportunity to watch, you can see the potential that was there early on. And then as it years went on, I mean, you could see very early in the next 2-3 years, you seen that he's going to be that star. And now that seeing Michael making that phase out of the league, you know, and knowing that he had that understanding, you know, I want to be better than Michael Jordan, you know, and having that mindset. And then being, again, NBA was blessed to have it because they need the face of the league, you know, and that with those other stars was kind of moving, you know, moving aside like the Michael Jordan, you know, the Carmelos and so forth, but more so the guy, Michael Jordan. So Kobe, he always wanted to be the face of the league, and he had that opportunity, and he ran with it very hardly.
Yeah, and he seemed to be on an insane pace, like post-basketball. Like what he could have accomplished after his retirement, what he was getting involved with from just the game, at like being bought into women's basketball. And also on the like art and film side, he has an Oscar. Like,
yeah,
like Kobe was destined to do a lot. Yeah. So, like the world definitely is gonna miss, is missing Kobe. There's no like easy transition here to Hornets basketball. So yeah, we're just gonna lean into it. We're just gonna steer right into it. Kobe, rest in peace. A lot like. It was a horrific day, and hopefully we don't have anything like that ever again. But
absolutely.
Switching gears as awkwardly as possible to Hornets basketball. Hornets stand at 7-10, 10th place in the East. To be fair, though, at this point, you know, they'd be eligible for the play-in game, so that's a plus. They had the first game back after their Wednesday game. Against the Wizards got postponed, against the Bulls. And in that game, we saw the return of Cody Zeller. Muggsy, with his, like, in that game and then in the games against the Magic, what do you think about Cody being back in the fold? What do you expect from him? What do you think his impact will be in the rotation going forward?
It was a bright for sight. I'm quite sure Coach JB and the coaching staff and all the other players were so thrilled to have Cody, you know, back on the floor, because he brings those intangibles, you know, that no one has loved doing, and it doesn't show up in the stat sheet. I mean, he's the guy that on the board, diving for the loose ball, a little setting screens, rolling to the best, tip ins. You know, every now and then he'll get a chip in, you know, when he score. That's a bonus for him. But, you know, what he, his energy that he brings, he's also able to protect the rim to some degree. You know, when he's there, and he kind of also give Biz a little relief, and so you get two different types of looks in terms of Biombo, Bismack, as well as Cody. Because then when you got them in there together, you know, those guys are energetic, not looking to score as much, but they're always in the right place, making the right pass at the right time. So I think it's very helpful to have them back, and they're going to need them going forward.
I say it all the time in my live streams and videos that I've been pretty happy with Bismack Biyombo this year. Like, I look at his numbers after every quarter at halftime, and my eyes go to rebounds. I want rebounds and block shots from him. Anything else is a plus. And yes. I think, you know, he puts himself in the right position. He may not always have the best handle on the ball, but if he's given us into, especially offensive rebounds, I think he's made the most of this opportunity. I think Borrego has said that when Cody's healthy again, he'll be the starter again, which will be good for Biz, his long-term sustainability as well.
Yes.
Giving him a break. And that seeing that smaller lineup wasn't necessarily a matter of need. It was more of a choice for Borrego, depending on the matchup he wanted to roll out there. And so their Hornets have options now with Zeller, Biz, or they can go small with PJ and Miles out there. That's assuring, but Cody definitely looked a little rusty.
Yeah,
His hand, like he was out with a hand injury, right?
Yeah, when you're out that long, I mean, it takes time to get in game condition, game shape. I mean, you can't simulate that in practice. And I'm quite sure they didn't have many of them, but mm-hmm. I mean, it takes going to take some time for him to get his legs underneath of him. But, you know, Cody brings another element where he can stretch the floor, you know, when he's out there. So it brings that other defender out and leaves the middle wide open where the penetration, Terry Rozier, as well as Haywood, can get to the basket. At will, and that's what pretty much been happening the last couple of games. And hopefully, you know, we can get back on that winning streak. But it's something to be excited to have Cody back in the lineup.
Yeah, his first game against the Bulls back, he played just under 11 minutes. The second game back, he played around just under 15 minutes and 18 minutes in the last game against the Magic. So just slowly kind of bringing him on, getting mm-hmm. his legs, getting his lungs, and hopefully we'll get a better picture of what we have, because I know a lot of Hornets fans are interested in trades. They want improvements in certain areas. It's hard to, for me, like I respect it, I understand it, but we don't even know what this team is yet, like who we have yet.
It's too early.
And we haven't really seen Vernon or Nick Richards get involved as well. The rookies, they'll take a little longer to get right, get ready. We're not privy to what goes on in practices and trainings, but
that's what's sad about the G League not being able to be starting up right now, because those guys could be getting some valuable minutes in terms of what the NBA lifestyle, I mean, what the NBA play is all about. Even though they get it in practice, but, you know, they're constantly to be able to plan, and it just always give you a better feeling, enhance you, you know, and it keeps you engaged when your number is called.
Yep, definitely. I feel bad because I look over and just watch these games, and Vernon Carey is just so big. Like, he's a big human being just sitting on the bench mm-hmm. with the mask on, just watching. I'm like, man, come on. We need you. Come out of here. I was thinking of Chris Boucher just bodying us. We need your help.
Yeah. That's length right there. It's length.
He's nice. He may be most improved. Like, him and Christian Wood may be most improved candidates. Or the front runners, at least.
Yeah. Jared Allen will leave out.
Oh, yeah. So, along with the return of Cody Zeller, we've seen Gordon Hayward really kind of take the reins as the man on the team, for lack of a better word. Back-to-back 30-point games, game-winning layup against the Magic. Muggsy, how are you feeling about Gordon Hayward? We're less than 25% into the season. I'm blown away by it. I'm loving everything I'm seeing from Gordon. How are you feeling about our new our big free agent signing?
Well, I'm not shocked. I mean, this is what Gordon Hayward is all about. I mean, even when he was in Utah, you know, this was the type of play he was. I mean, he felt comfortable. He was healthy. He was very anxious in terms of, you know, proving that he belonged into the league and showing that he could be an all-star. And that's what he now have an opportunity to be on this type of team. You know, he's gotten the ball. He got a lot of free range. And he got a lot of players that complimentary of him on the team, and he is allowed to play his natural game. Three behind the arc, mid-range, get to the basket. The ball is moving. So this is a perfect situation for him. And he's showcasing what he's capable of doing on every given night when he's healthy. As long as he stays healthy, I mean, this is what you're going to see through Gordon Hayward. And that's a great sight for the Hornets to have. And the other guys, you know, will continue to play, you know, good basketball. Now we need to put some wins together. And I think it's going to come. It's just a matter of everybody just continuing on the defensive end, you know, getting some key stops when we need to, and then go down and put the ball in the basket.
Most definitely. We've seen some streaky performances from the rest of the players, from Terry, from Devontae, from PJ. With those guys kind of settling in and finding some rhythm, would hopefully take the load off Gordon, because you mentioned his injury. Like past, we need him, you know. We need to be able to take a night off here and there, like, and we need other guys to step up. Who I think, you know, our squad, we have Taylor Gateri, Devontae, PJ, Bridges, LaMelo, guys that can step up. It's just we don't always know if we'll see it for four quarters. We've seen some like streaky shooting performances from Terry and Devontae, especially these last few games. They would come on later or have like a really hot quarter, which is nice to see. But hopefully we can smooth out the edges, so to speak, and we won't have to come back from too many more games.
No, I mean, that's why stars become stars. You know, they, you know what you get from them each and every night. You know they're going to get their 25 or 28 or whatever that number is for them. And that's what Haywood displaying. You know, he's one of, he's trying to be that guy for this team, and bringing that type of energy as well as scoring ability. And I think it's going to rub off to the other guys. You know, the consistency, which they're going to continue to need. And they still young. You know, PJ is in his second year. Miles, you know, is in his third year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you got, and here you got Malik Monk haven't even, you know, got much playing time. He's sitting over there with, you know, so you got some firepower. And then the young fella and Melo, going to have his ups and downs because he's a rookie. But more ups, hopefully, than downs. But, you know, his confidence is sky high. I cannot foresee him even losing any type of confidence. So, and I believe in the type of abilities he has. But I think it's going to continue. These guys will step their game up continuously in terms of knowing what they got to, what the roles are and what they got to continue to do. Because Gordon Haywood right now, he's playing some all-star basketball, you know, in these last three games, you know, and it's actually pretty much all season when he's out there. So I think it's going to kind of rub off to the other guys.
Yeah, I think there's some talk about having an actual all-star game now, which I hope Gordon can be a part of, because it'll be great to have that representation in that game. And it'll be a nice little, like, middle finger to everyone who said we overpaid for him, too. Like, they'll be like, hey, how you feel about it now, you know?
Well, yeah, they say, you know, you overpaid until somebody, you know, willing to give you that salary, so. But now the Hornets feel like they got what they were, what is worth. We'll see. It's still early, you know, but thus far, he's been every bit of, you know, the value of what they, you know, what they gave him, what he, you know, what he's deserving. So I have no problems with Haywood's ability and what he's been bringing to the table thus far.
Yeah, and he seems really happy. Like, I didn't watch a lot of Celtics basketball when he was there. Mm-hmm. Celtics fans were saying, like, he wasn't the first option there.
No.
And he is here. And you can tell by his body language that he's, like, enjoying his role with this franchise. So that's always nice to see. Despite the record, looking for silver linings, I guess. He's playing well and he's enjoying his time.
$120 million don't hurt.
No, I'd be pretty happy with that as well.
Yeah.
Going forward, it's getting tough.
Yeah.
There are no easy games per se, but these are hard games, definitely. Two games against the Pacers. We got the Bucks, the Heat, the Sixers. That's just in the next like five or six games. So in those upcoming games, is there anything you're looking forward to? Anything you want to see? I know a lot of Hornets fans are eager to see LaMelo start. Do you think it's time to pull the trigger on that to switch up the starting five? I think at some point Cody will enter the five. Cody Zeller. It sucks having two Codys on the same team now, because it's like, now that Cody Zeller, I got to always say Cody Zeller, just not confuse him with Cody Martin. I think we'll see that change in the five eventually. But do you think it's time, either like now, the next game, or some point in the near future, to make a change with any of the guards or forwards?
I think I was watching the game. I think I overheard Coach JB. I think they asked him that question in terms of about the lineups, and it wasn't nobody in specific. And he was, you know, kind of considering some things, and he understand that he has changed his lineup multiple times, mainly because of injuries. But also, they want to bring some excitement into the game. But I think he is open to possibly, you know, changing it up again. And Melo could be that one of that guys get that call, as well as Miles. Who knows? But, you know, it's a long season. And I'm quite sure the coaching staff has their pulse on where the team is and what they need and when they need to pull that trigger. Because, you know, you don't want to destroy the confidence that they have, you know, because right now they're feeling good about themselves. And we out there, and anybody know anything about the NBA, it's a day-to-day type of situation. If you're not having success and you're not feeling good about it, you know, it can kind of build up, and you don't want that happen, especially to a young player.
Yep. I tell people that, you know, Melo's 19 years old. he's going to be under team control for a while. So hopefully, like, he'll be part of the Hornets franchise for a while. So there's time. Time's on our side, right? Yeah. And it's important not to burn him out. But it's hard when you see him come off it, or come onto the court, and it's like, oh man, this feels different. I like this. Yeah. I want to see him take fewer threes and drive to the lane more, because him and his like silky layup game is really fun to watch. And that will help with the shooting percentage. I think will help with his confidence as well.
But not only that, it puts so much pressure on the defense.
Yeah,
because it gives him, because he's got so much vision where he's able to find his guys, and him driving to the basket, looking to score though, as opposed to looking to pass. I think it would do a lot for him as well as for the team, because it puts so much pressure on the defense and on the defender, because they don't know either he's going to score, or then when they try to do that, he can find the shooters. And we got some good ones out there which can fire away. So I love when he's had that type of aggression when he's attacking the basket as opposed to just standing around shooting the three ball. You know, opportunities come, you got to let it go. But more importantly, you put so much pressure on the defendants. And when you penetrate, when he penetrates, mm-hmm. because he had that ability not only to score, but find his teammates as well.
Yeah, the when Devontae, Terry, and LaMelo are on the court at the same time, and Devontae is bringing the ball up, and LaMelo just stands on the corner, I'm like, oh, this is such a waste. Like, I need him handling the ball, and I much would rather have Devontae standing on the corner waiting for the pass. So I hope to see less of that. Going forward, and then a little more better perimeter defense from everybody involved. Because it's been a 3-point shootout every time. If we play a team that can shoot it, they're shooting it, and they're shooting it well.
But the thing about it has been uncontested, though.
Yeah.
You know, if it's contested, that's one thing, because now the rotation is there. You just that, hey, he made the shot. It's one another thing where the contest is not there, and you can get lost, and all of a sudden they're just jacking up threes, and you know, we have no whereabouts where we are. You know, that's when the concern comes in.
Yep. So, obviously, Hornets have a lot to work on. They'll be tested by a very good Pacers team, the reigning MVP in Giannis, the defending Eastern Conference champions, the Heat, and one of the favorites, the Sixers, next few games. So, I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully, things go well. Knocking on wood.
A good test, I'm quite sure they're looking forward to. I mean, hey, we got some quality wins already on our belt. Mm-hmm. Brooklyn Nets, Dallas Mavericks. So, you know, hey, I'm not concerned in that way. I just hope the guys coming back with the right mind frame and the right attitude. You know, what happened in Orlando is over. It's over and done with. Now we got to move on to Indiana. We got two home games that we can possibly get. And we need to just focus in one game at a time. And hopefully we can get a win coming up this next game tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I feel like we had that long layoff as a fan, but that long layoff with the postponed game, and then game on
the Wizards. What's the Wizards? I mean, are they going to be able to get enough games in? I mean,
yeah, they had another game postponed.
Not to cut you off.
No, they were supposed to play the Pelicans, right? The other night, and that got postponed. So I mentioned like we're approaching the 25% mark for the season, mm-hmm. the quarter mark, and I'm really curious if the NBA can finish these games out, and if we don't end up in a bubble at some point. I know they don't want to do that. I know the arena owners don't want to do that, but the Hornets have been pretty lucky on that front.
Yeah, they have. But they found the protocol pretty good.
I want to give the NBA credit where they come up with an idea. If it doesn't work, they're usually pretty quick to fix it. I remember when they changed the basketball and all the players were complaining about it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, all right, yeah, you guys
are finding the thing is that different texture they had.
Yeah. So I want to give the NBA the benefit of the doubt with like adjusting on the fly if things aren't truly working. So hopefully,
something like baseball. Out.
Yep, baseball. Yeah. They ran into it. My St. Louis Cardinals got hit hard with COVID when they had their season. So I don't know what the answer is. I know the NBA players aren't first in line for vaccines, you know? And so you gotta have to like really tighten in the protocols and that to keep them safe and keep the fans safe. And I don't know. It's one of those things where I don't know if plan A is going to work for the NBA this year. And we won't end up in another bubble. Maybe like three bubbles across the country or something. Like, I don't know. they can figure it out. There's plenty of cities that can handle the infrastructure. But hopefully, we're, at least for the Hornets, on the Hornets side, we're done with the postponed games.
Yeah.
And well, then everyone is healthy, obviously.
Right. Well, we're in January now, so, you know, we have several more months to go. I think the championship over is sometime in July when the finals would probably end. So, you know, we got no time.
And also just in a weird, like, this wasn't meant to be a medical corner of the of the podcast, but salute to Caris LeVert. He had successful cancer surgery. Like, that trade saved his life potentially.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, he got traded to the Cavs, went through a medical, they found something on his kidney, I believe.
Yeah, and, that's
Yeah, everything worked out well. He's going to expected to make a full recovery. So, like,
that's great news. Absolutely. I mean, to find out that you got traded is devastating enough. And then here it is. You're going through your physical, and then to be diagnosed, you know, with that, it's just another mind boggling to deal with. But thankful that, you know, God was on his side and that he was able to, you know, make it through successfully, because he's a heck of a player. I mean, so much talent, so much potential there. And, you know, Indiana are going to be gracious to have a player of his magnitude. So I'm just happy for him and his family.
Yep. I think I said Cleveland. You're right, Indiana. I got that and Jared Allen stuck in my head. But I think that's everything on the list for tonight, for this week's episode. Muggsy, is there anything else you'd like to get into before we say goodbye to the people?
Well, gosh. I mean, what's out there on today's society, the day that's kind of getting a lot of attention? Gosh, my day has been just going by without even really and not much substance in it today, just kind of sitting around. But I'm just thankful that, you know, we was able to have the show today and be able to talk about the celebrating of Kobe, you know, and the things that he was able to accomplish in his life. The recovery of Caris LeVert. So I'm just happy to be here with you, my brother. You know, so it's another great episode.
Yeah, I'll toast you.
You know, absolutely, for sure.
All right, thanks everyone for checking out the latest episode of the Believe in Hornets podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. We'll talk to you soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.